Good morning. Merry Christmas. As we gather on this festival day, remembering our dear Savior's birth, whenever I hear now David up here singing and that song, I wonder, as I wander, I can't help but think of Ted Hicks, who did that in more recent years until he died. And I'm thinking about being surrounded by all the saints who have gone before us, and all those who aren't able to be here this morning, but maybe worshiping with us via the live stream. And so it is indeed a privilege to be together, for where two or three are gathered in his name, Christ is in our midst. We sing our entrance hymn, Good Christian Friends Rejoice. Child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Incarnate God, on this Christmas day, we give you thanks for sending your Son to bring light to our darkness. As these candles glow among us, and as we light the Advent wreath candles and the Christmas candles, grant that we, like the angels over Bethlehem, may sing your praises in our hearts and in our lives. Amen.
Thank you.
Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, you gave us your only Son to take on our human nature and to illumine the world with your light. By your grace, adopt us as your children and enlighten us with your Spirit through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first reading this morning is from Isaiah, the 52nd chapter. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messenger who announces peace, who brings good news, who announces salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your sentinels lift up their voices. Together they sing for joy. For in plain sight they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together into singing, you ruins of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm before all the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. The word of the Lord. We'll read Psalm 98 responsively. Sing a new song to the Lord, who has done marvelous things, whose right hand and holy arm have won the victory. You remember your steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Sing to the Lord with the harp and the voice of song. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell therein. The Lord will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. Our second lesson this morning is from the book of Hebrews, the first chapter. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by a son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being, and he sustains all things by his powerful word. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. The word of the Lord. Invite all who are able to stand. The Gospel according to John, the first chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Two verses from that gospel reading. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Today, Christmas Day, we have John chapter 1. One of, frankly, the most famous chapters in the whole Bible. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. While it's well known today, in the first 7 centuries or so of Christianity, it was incredibly well known. The period that's often called the patristic period, where they analyzed, debated over, discussed, and challenged this John 1 from every possible angle. And the reason this passage was so important for them is it's one of the most direct relationships where in the Bible where it talks about Jesus' relationship with God the Creator. And when I was an undergraduate, I thought I was going to be a historian of Christianity, so I decided I would really, really learn this stuff. By the way, I didn't become a historian of Christianity. I became an exegete of ancient Christian texts, and if you don't know the difference, I can't begin to go through there. But in studying this, I kept looking at those first few verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things came into being through him. Without him, not one thing came into being. The passage suggests who Jesus is, how Jesus relates to God the Creator. And in Christian history, there were huge debates about that, some that we probably can't fathom the volume of. Some thought that Jesus was like God, but not really God. After all, it does say he was with God, which makes it sound like something accompanying God. Some people did think, well, in fact, he was God, but was he before the beginning in Genesis? After all, it says, in the beginning was the Word. Well, we know what that beginning was. Was there something before that? Others thought, well, no, he was fully God, but maybe when he became human, then has become a little bit less, subordinated himself in order to take on flesh. Others said, no, this is of the same substance with God the Creator. And you had a litany of names to learn. And if you took a patristics class like I did, where you had to go in and you had this plate of names and events, and the final exam was going into the instructor's office and drawing one from the hat and saying, tell me who this is and what this is about. And because of who the instructor was and his grasp of the knowledge, we always said it's like trying to explain the Bible to God. But you knew your stuff. At least that's what I thought. Because I could get a whiteboard out right now and go through the different church councils and the different figures, and you can learn all kinds of fun names like Apollinarius and Eutychus and things like that. But then, the second class I had on history of Christianity, that same teacher, who we were just pulling our teeth out trying to get through, said, well, now that you've learned all that, you've got it all wrong. Who cares what the relationship is between Jesus and God the Creator? We're not going to understand that. God's God. We're not. And what's more, this passage isn't actually about that at all. Not really. It has nothing to do with the speculative theology of the Trinity. This passage is about us. Theology, after all, is not the study of God, but it's the study of the way God relates with humans. This John 1 text that we so frequently focus on, we focus on the character of the Word. But that Word of God, in this same passage, says of us, to To all who receive him, who believe in his name, he gave the power to become the children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but God. You see, John 1 wasn't written so we could understand some tricky things about the character of God. John 1 was written so we could understand some of the difficult things about ourselves. It's a text written about the eternal Word of God who then becomes flesh. God became human, the theology of the incarnation. But I think we sometimes can miss how that affects us, how it's about us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And I think some of us, when we hear that, think, well, sure, God became flesh. God became a human being. Jesus of Nazareth, born roughly 4 BC. And God did that. But if that were all, then it's great that Jesus has shown how a human could, in theory, be saved, encapsulated in himself. And good for him, wouldn't be a big help for the rest of us. See, the theology of the incarnation is not just that Jesus became a human. Jesus became humanity. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And how did it dwell among us? Not just one human among a variety of other billion ones. Instead, the Word became all flesh. The Word didn't just take one human body, the Word took upon all human bodies. See, I think we're used to thinking Jesus becoming a human being, doing ministry, heading on the cross, dying, and being raised again. And we also know that Jesus saved us from sin and death. But I think sometimes we can think that the way Jesus has saved us from sin and death was on the cross and the resurrection. Before that, that other stuff is just prelude. That it's on the cross and resurrection that new creation comes forward, because finally the problems we humans have caused in this world have finally been solved. But the incarnation, at the very birth of Christ, it's already done. Not just at the cross. Jesus becoming all of humanity is creating a new humanity in him. As Paul says, as in Adam all die, so in Christ all are made alive. The new way of being human didn't come with death and resurrection. It came with the incarnation. When Jesus brings that new humanity, when the Word becomes all flesh, it changes what human flesh is. And then it's not about how the Almighty and Everlasting God condescends to this poor humanity who are sinners and need to be rectified of that from some outside source. Humans are sinners and need to be rectified from an outside source. But rather than it being God's condescension alone, another way to look at it is the way God raises humanity to the divine. Not saying that humans are forever poor and worthless, but by Christ's action, saying humans are valued and are indeed united to God. To all who receive him, who believe in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. The children of God born of God. That's not metaphorical language. It's actual. The incarnation is a theology of valuing us humans. Jesus becoming all humanity so that our humanity has changed. We can be called children of God. We can be said to be born of God. It's a new identity that we have due to the action and power of God. The real theology of the incarnation is not about how God became a human being in 4 BC. It's about the way God has become fully all of humanity at all times and all places. How right now you are born of God. You are united with God. The incarnation of the Word is here in and among us right now. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And the Word has not stopped dwelling among us. We have been given power to become the children of God, born of God. Thanks be to God. Trusting in God's good news of great joy for all people, we offer our prayers for ourselves, our neighbors, and the world God loves. Divine Word that is our light shining in the darkness, inspire your church to proclaim to the world Christ's holy birth. Sustain and empower its ministries with the knowledge that darkness cannot overcome your grace and mercy. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. You became flesh and dwelt among us to establish a new creation. Let us see your holy presence in every aspect of creation around us. Help us to see the beauty and majesty of your word in the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. You have made us children of God and recreated all people in Christ. Help us to see the dignity of all people as children of God on earth, that our unity as humans is not found from the will of people, but our source of being in you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In you is life, which is the light of the world. Let that life be ever present to all who suffer. Share the comfort of your presence with all people today who are alone or separated from loved ones due to distance, means, illness, estrangement, or death. We pray for all those who suffer this day from any kind of pain. We pray especially today for Terry Chapp, Chuck Dietz, Gay and Dal Haverland, Morgan McCrory, Jeff and Gretchen Seamus, several of the family members of David Joe. For who else or what else do the people pray? Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give you thanks for the many witnesses to the light who have inspired and mentored us and who now have come to their eternal rest in you. May their witness live on in us as a reflection of the light of Christ, even as we grieve their loss, especially during this time of year when their absence can feel particularly poignant. We pray especially this day for Debbie McCrory, whose mother Mary Harwood recently died, as well as Mary Fitz, one of our friends from the Springs, whose husband Dave died last Tuesday. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Abide with us, O God of mercy, and receive our prayers according to your abundant grace. Amen. The peace of the Christ child be with you always.
us pray. Holy God, your beauty shines forth from the manger, and your love flows from the cross. As you gather us around these signs of your love that's come among us, warm us to extend your care among the hungry and any in need. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. In the wonder and mystery of the Word made flesh, you have opened the eyes of faith to a new and radiant vision of your glory, that beholding the God made visible, we may be drawn to love the God whom we cannot see. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, born of Mary, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. On the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death and resurrection and his ascension, we await for Christ's coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O God, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forevermore. Amen. We give you thanks, O God, for the precious gift of your Son, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God, and they are given freely to us, the people of God, children of God. And so as soon as Pastor Ben and I are in place, we will invite you to come forward to receive the bread in the form of a wafer and then dip it into the cup. And now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. God of wonder, in Jesus we behold the light of the world come near. As you have come among us now, send us out in joy, hastening to share the good news of your love. We ask this in the name of Jesus, through the Holy Spirit dwelling among us now and forever. Amen. I invite you to stand as you're able for the benediction. God, the Creator who delights in you, Jesus, the Savior who is born for you, and the life-giving Spirit who shines on you, bless you and keep you in hope and peace. Amen. Share the joy of the Christ child born in our hearts today, and Merry Christmas. Thanks be to God.